Psalm 42 is another psalm written by David to be sung by the sons of Korah. Now, if that's a new phrase to you, the sons of Korah were something similar to what we would again call a choir within the church. If you have your Bibles in front of you, if you're looking at your bulletin, you will see the word maskil there in the subtitle. That simply means instruction or teaching. This is an instructive psalm. And the reason it is an instructive psalm is because it speaks to one of the more frequently asked questions in the Christian life. I had asked you to look at or listen to and think about what is the core issue that we see described in Psalm 42. Well, the answer is in verse 5 and again in verse 11. It is in the form of a question. I'll just read verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Let me read that again. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Let me paraphrase the question this way. Why am I under this heavy burden, feeling upset, emotionally on edge? I'm under a great weight and I have no peace. My life seems to be like a raging storm upon the sea. Why do I lack peace, comfort, joy? Why do I lack stability that I assumed would be part of the life of a child of God? Why somehow have these things escaped me? Now, in order to appreciate what David is writing, we again need to set the historical context for Psalm 42. David's circumstances were critical. His son Absalom had rebelled and gathered a following against David, a very strong following, so strong that it forced David out of Jerusalem. David was faced with battling his own son, who would eventually die in that battle, causing considerable heartache, of course, for David. Can you imagine the reproach, the embarrassment, the heartache, the shame that David must have felt? It's in that context that we have to look at Psalm 42. Now, in analyzing Psalm 42, we're going to focus on the very last verse, verse 11. All other verses, you say, are you going to get to those? Well, we'll refer to them to be sure. But all other verses inform us as to what David writes in verse 11, the very last verse of our psalm. Let me read verse 11 to you. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. There are two key words that explain David's problem to us. The first one is the Hebrew word translated cast down. Why are you cast down? The word literally means to be bowed low, stooped down because of a great weight or burden, to be in despair, conceived as a sinking ship, to be continually sinking down. The second word there in verse 11 that is key to our understanding is the word translated turmoil. This Hebrew word means to be afflicted, marked by anxious trouble or grief, to be in such an upheaval that it's as though you are growling on the inside, similar to your stomach in an uproar. I think most of us can appreciate that description. We not only see the depth of David's emotional upheaval here, But we really can now understand why he felt that way. How would you feel if you were battling your own son? What kind of emotional upheaval would go through you if you were in that situation? But notice verse 11 is in the form of a question. It's in the form of a question, not a statement. And the question is, why am I cast down? Why do I feel such upheaval? Now, there's a sense in which David is chiding himself here. He's saying, wait just a minute, I should not be feeling this way. Now, remember the context. Remember the description that he gives us in verse 11, but when he puts it in the form of a question, what he's really saying is, why am I feeling this way? This ought not be. What's wrong with me? I should hope in God under the worst of circumstances. I think our response to David would be to say something like this: David, don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, look at what you've gone through. Your own child turned his back on you. So we can understand all of this turmoil, this being cast down. That we can understand. In fact, what we have in Psalm 42 is some description of the personal pain that David faced under Absalom's rebellion. Verses 2 through 4 of Psalm 42. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. It was heartbreaking for David to be removed from the corporate worship of God's people. He cried, when shall I come and appear before God? What is true of me now is my tears have been my food 24 hours a day. And yet I still can remember the joy of going with God's people, leading them to the house of God to praise and worship Him. I still have that in the back of my mind. I know exactly what that's like. But that's all been ripped away from David now. What he hears instead are the jeers of his enemies who shout, where is your God, David? And so, in all of this, David says, I still have no excuse. He laments deep within himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Why is that? Why would such a question be placed in a psalm of praise and worship to be sung by the people of God? Think about that a moment. This is to be sung in corporate worship. People get together to praise God, and they go, oh, my tears day and night. Say, how on earth would that be part of the worship hymnal of God's people? Well, what David is doing is teaching us that no matter how hard our circumstances, no matter what our situation is, to be in the condition he describes is not God's norm for his people. It is abnormal. Let me state it in a more positive way. There is an inward peace and quiet of soul which the people of God naturally and normally have. If you are a child of God, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and turned to Him in faith believing that He delivered you from your sins, then certainly, if you are in this kind of turmoil, then what he's saying is, this should not be. It is abnormal. It is not the natural stream of things. The Bible speaks frequently about peace, and if we were kind of going to break it down a bit theologically, and you all know this before I even tell you, there are two kinds of peace for the child of God. The first is permanent and can never be lost, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is fundamental peace. This is the fundamental peace that naturally flows from being justified by faith. The word justified there means to be declared righteous. And we're declared righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Has nothing to do with us. He is the one that justifies us. And so this peace is permanent because it is accomplished by God and given to us, not because of us, but solely on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first kind of peace. The second kind of peace is that which arises and flows from a growing understanding of God and His Word. And as we trust in that Word and lean upon God's revelation, it's that kind of peace. You have a bit of a description of it in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, when Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." Do you see that? Verse 9 is actually the conclusion. He says, what you've learned and what you've received, he says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the inner stability, the calm, which causes us to be inwardly still during the greatest of calamities. That's the idea. It is this peace that has been disrupted for David. And we, like David, know what it is to have that inner stability disturbed within us, do we not? If you've been saved any length of time, you can appreciate some of this description. Maybe not to the level, but certainly you have been there. So here are the two kinds of peace. The first deals with removal of our enmity against God. The second deals with our emotional well-being. Now, when we come to Psalm 42, Psalm 42 has a particular focus upon the second kind of peace. It has a particular focus upon our inner stability, a particular focus upon our emotional well-being. Now, let's come back and look again at some of the factors which contributed to David's condition. First, there were his enemies. Now, the question becomes, what was so devastating about his enemies? Why did they bother him so much? Was it because they were more powerful and mightier than he? Because certainly he is on the run at this point. Was it because his son was the leader of his enemies? Well, that certainly would be a heartache. But interestingly enough, there is no mention of that in Psalm 42. So what was it about his enemies that contributed to his despair? Well, we have an answer, at least a partial answer, beginning in verse 3 of Psalm 42. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" Verse 10, "As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" His enemies had defeated him in the moment. He was on the run, but that was not his greatest grief. His greatest grief is summed up in their jeer, "Where is your God?" Now the question is, why did that pain him so? Why did those words cut through him? Well, we know it wasn't because his pride was being stepped on. I mean, sometimes jabs can do that, can they not? When people jab at our beliefs or jab at us, those things quite often hit more at our pride than anything else. We are hurt because others don't accept us. When they jab at us, they're saying, "You're fools." But that wasn't the cause of David's pain. What was it about their mocking that disturbed him so deeply? Verse 4, Psalm 42. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." Their questioning severely pained David because it was a reproach upon God. He remembered when he went to the house of God with God's people for the express purpose of recognizing the greatness and the power of God. He remembered all of that, but his enemies didn't see it. His enemies were far from thinking that way. In fact, they were looking for any excuse to ridicule God, to scoff at the thought that the true God could truly preserve and protect his people. "Where is your God, David, in this?" They were using David to ultimately mock God. But there was another reason why his enemies' mockings so hurt him. And we see it tucked away in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 42. Verse 9 says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" Now, let me paraphrase verses 9 and 10 in this fashion. I'm allowing the verbal jabs of my enemies to cast me down, to put me in turmoil. I'm guilty of listening to them rather than God. Their words have pierced me and affected me. I must get hold of myself. My hope is in God. You say, how do you get that out of there? Well, go back to verse 9. When he says, "Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? Why have you forgotten me, God?" Just before that. What was happening is the jabs of his enemies, who were saying, well, a lot more than that one question, but that one question boils up their jabs, "Where is your God?" He was beginning to hear that because he's a sinner saved by grace like every other child of God. And so it was affecting him. And it cut him deeply. So he pens the final statement in verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." David has opened his heart in Psalm 42. And let me say it again, there's not a child of God in the room this morning who hasn't felt and experienced, at least to some degree, what David is describing in this psalm. Here it is. But now the question remains, what's the solution? What's the solution? We all know that we experience this at times, and sometimes more frequently than others, and for long periods of time. So what's the solution? How do we have the inner stability and peace that should be ours in a tumultuous world? Well, David gives us the solution. He begins by reasoning with himself. Note what he does here. He talks to himself. Why am I cast down? Why am I in turmoil? He was saying, wait a minute, why should I feel this way? Has God commanded it? Does it please him? Actually, we could say that the entire psalm, Psalm 42, is David talking to himself. So that's where we should begin. If we're looking for a solution, then we need to begin by having a stern conversation within ourselves, be talking to ourselves. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's out loud and you don't realize it and somebody thinks you're crazy. It doesn't make any difference at all. We need to talk to ourselves earnestly and sternly. For example, why am I allowing my emotions to control me? Anywhere in the Bible that says we ought to allow that to happen? No. Why am I allowing my emotions to control me? What have I done in my life to encourage and accelerate my growth in the knowledge of God's scriptures? Another question that quite often for most of us, in fact, I would say for all of us, has a very embarrassing answer. What kind of effort am I putting forth to display the Lord Jesus Christ in my daily living? That's the kind of conversation that David was having with himself in Psalm 42. But more specifically, David reasons with himself concerning the truth of God, concerning the truth of God's character and God's person. Let me just give you a quick outline here. In verse 2, he remembers that God is the living God. In verse 5, he reminds himself that God is the helper and defender of his people. In verse 7, he calls to mind that God controls all things in his life. In verse 8, he remembers the infinite and unchanging love God has for him. Let me read verse 8. Verse 8 says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. What he's saying there is, it doesn't matter whether it's day or night, God loves David and is always with him. That's what he says in verse 8. In verse 9, he remembers that God is his rock. The Hebrew word that is translated rock there means he's his stronghold. He's his fortress. God is his defender. Do you see that? Now we're just talking about some solutions. How did David come out to where he ends in verse 11 by saying, I hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. We started with the last verse. And the reason we started at the end is because we cannot fully appreciate the beginning of this psalm unless we've walked through the struggles of David, unless we've reminded ourselves of his circumstances as he pens these words, and as we learn concerning the conclusions that he comes to as he reasons with himself. But now read verse 1. This explains verse 1. You don't understand verse 1 until you understand the rest of the psalm. And so he says in verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. There it is. For Christians, our turmoils in life cause us to rethink, to talk to ourselves, to remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done for us. the experiences, the turmoils, the things that David went through. He understood that it enlarges his heart with love and adoration for his God and drives him to worship. That's the idea. Such experience is what drives us to truly cry out, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Here is another psalm for corporate worship. Now can we see how it fits into the hymn book of the people of God? It's another song of worship that magnifies the attributes of God. And it magnifies our relationship to those attributes and what a privileged people we are because we belong to Him. And may that be burned deeply within our hearts as we continue through this week. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again with very thankful hearts for your word. We would pray that you would speak to us, help us to see these things, and may thy Holy Spirit burn them deeply within our minds and our hearts. And we'll give you the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.